don't buy the idea that, you know, the society the way it is right now, it has to be this way.
Welcome to Rewrite the Rules with your host, Alex Starr.
So many of us choose our path out of fear disguised as practicality.
It's time to live life on your own terms.
What do you really want?
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to a fresh episode of Rewrite the Rules with yo, Alex Starr. I'm really excited to have you guys here. This episode is going to offer a ton of value because I know there's a lot of us who feel constricted about our jobs, about the 9-to-5. We all want to do amazing quality work. We want to have an impact. It's not like what our parents think where, you know, they think we're lazy and entitled and we don't want to do the work. We want to do the work. We just would like some flexibility in our goddamn schedule. But yeah, this podcast is with my friend Taylor Elizabeth, who has been running a company called Remote Like Me, where she literally shows people how to go remote like her, for the past few years. So we get into the mindset behind this type of endeavor, and then we get into the tactics. So the first 3/4 of the podcast is actually more around her story. It's going to be the mindset that work that goes into getting a job and feeling worthy enough to get a job like this. Please do not skip over that because that is the most important part. Just about the last third, maybe even last quarter, are some tactics in terms of resumes, where to actually find the jobs, things like that. Those are questions fielded from Instagram, from you guys, from the listeners. So I can't wait for you guys to listen to this. Please be patient with the audio on her end. She's doing it from Antigua, Guatemala. So my audio sounds fantastic because I'm sitting here with amazing Wi-Fi and a killer mic, and she was in Antigua. So please be patient with her audio. And really just, you know, try and hone in on what she's saying and not the slight static because it's amazing stuff. So take a listen. You can find her on Instagram at Remote Like Me, and on her website. She's got a lot of cool stuff coming up, including a free 5-day workshop, course that starts on April 15th. So go over to Remote Like Me, sign up for that, and get you going to hopefully create a new lifestyle for you guys. So enjoy this podcast with Taylor, and I'll see you guys on the next one. Miss Taylor, welcome to El Podcast. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So I'm coming at you from Austin, Texas. It's a beautiful evening right here. I can hear like the grackles and stuff outside my window. And where are you?
I'm in Antigua, Guatemala. That's exactly why I plugged in my headphones, because I have got birds and insects and lots of like sunset time creatures coming out and making their noises. Yeah. So if you hear any of that, it's just Mother Nature.
Yeah, good. I've actually done quite a few podcasts outside before, and I get people asking me, like, where are you going to national parks and recording these podcasts? Because I'll just be outside. You can hear the planes overhead. You can just hear birds chirping and all this stuff. And I just really like doing them outside because it's just a really nice atmosphere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how long have you been in Antigua for people that are
now here? 3 years.
3 years?
I've been living here for 3 years. Yeah. I go back to the US like twice a year, usually for my family. I'm originally from Connecticut. If anyone is listening that's from New England, shout out to you. But yeah, I've been here for about 3 years now, and more, maybe 3.5. Yeah. And my favorite place to travel around is Central America. It's my favorite region of the world.
And so we'll get into the background of your company and everything like that. But you're not even really doing a digital nomad lifestyle, are you? You're completely set up as a home base in Antigua.
Mm-hmm. I did in the beginning, for sure. I had discovered Guatemala. It was the first country I ever went to out of the US. And I was pretty lucky. I absolutely fell in love with it. And I was living a pretty digital nomad-based lifestyle. I was working remotely for a company that was in Europe, and we'll get into that. But basically, I had a lot of travel opportunities, and I was pretty certain that I was in love with Guatemala, but I wasn't into getting a house or like just having anything more than a suitcase. And, you know, I was living that life. And then pretty soon after maybe the first year, I realized that this is going to be my home base now. Now past year three, I'm like, I'm in a 1 year lease in an apartment. I have a cat. Like, this is real.
You know, it's official now. You have a cat.
I couldn't help it.
You have a fucking cat. It's official.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. And I think, you know, I've been down to Antigua before, and that is a really, really easy town to fall in love with. I think I was I was there for 6 weeks. I mean, the cobblestone streets, the beautiful buildings, the people are so friendly. I was there for 6 weeks, and it still is just stuck in my head as somewhere that I have to go back to.
Yeah, it's absolutely mesmerizing. And like, everyone who comes here or says they're going to visit, I'm like, you know what, you'll find your own magic. There's so many magical things about this place. And everyone, like, for certain does. And they just say, like, that place just has a weird, like, it captivated me in a way that I'm not comfortable with. Yeah. Vibe. And I'm like, I'm so comfortable with it. Yeah. I never left.
I know. No, that's a good way to put it. So tell us a little bit about your story. Tell us about how you got started on this adventure. You know, I love your company. I was thinking about it today when I was prepping for this podcast, because you're very meta.
Yes.
You know, where you're working remote while running a company on how to work remote. Operates remotely. Yeah. So it's super meta. So just give the, you know, people who are just tuning in a little background on how this all got started, how you got into running this company out of Antigua.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, I'm originally from the US, and right now I run a company called Remote Like Me. Hence, I teach people how to find and land remote jobs. That's what I'm super passionate about. And it all happened because I myself got in a situation where I wanted to travel. I wanted to be, you know, experiencing what Guatemala had to offer for me. And I couldn't stand teaching anymore, which is what I started out doing and I have a degree in. And so I got a remote job myself. So that's how it started. I've been running the company for 3 years now. And basically, for anyone who's never done a major career switch before, or who maybe wants to go abroad and see what remote work opportunities are available to them, I'll just give you kind of the quick and dirty of how I fell into it, literally on Instagram. Oops. So I came down to Guatemala on a volunteer opportunity, and I absolutely fell in love, but I had to go back and I had to live my life and finish my master's degree in teaching. So I have an elementary education master's degree, and I was pretty damn sure that that's what I wanted to do my whole life. Like, since I was 3 years old, we have like videos of me with an upside down book reading to like 20 stuffed animals in my room. And it's so cute. And I always said, I want to be a teacher. I'm going to be a teacher. And that's what my heart was set on. And it was pretty shocking and devastating to realize that when I found traveling and just being in another country and noticing that there was a whole another world out there, I was like, I'm actually not so certain that that's my path. And it really woke me up with like a smack in the face. And when I went back to finish my master's degree, I wasn't happy. I was actually pretty depressed. I split up with a really long-term boyfriend of mine, and everyone was just like, what's wrong with you? You're so different. And I was like, what's wrong with me is I'm in the wrong country. I just absolutely knew in my heart of hearts that I had to do something different. So I went back 2 or 3 times and did like some rogue volunteering from people I had met and fell more in love. I never studied Spanish officially, but I just kept learning more and more by speaking and listening to people. And I decided that I would save up enough money that when my master's degree was over, which was only like, this is only like a 6 month span, then I would absolutely move there. So I moved there and I bartended, and I also did some freelance work for the nonprofit organization that I originally volunteered with down here. And that doesn't sound like much money. It wasn't. It was like negative amounts of money. So I was just, you know, living on my savings. And I found out pretty quickly that I was broke and that I might have to go back to the US. And that was like the scariest thing in the world for me. I don't know if anyone listening has gotten like thrusted into the travel lifestyle with no career plan to do so. And this is kind of what happens. Like, you run out of money and then you're like, okay, what am I going to do? So I literally was looking up Instagram people that inspired me with like hashtags like voluntourism, which is basically just leading a life of volunteering all around the world, doing stuff like woofing. I'm sure your audience is like pretty familiar with some of these things. And I kind of fell into a rabbit hole of hashtags like digital nomad. What is that? Yeah. Remote worker. What is that? And it was the best accidental Instagram black hole that I fell into for like a week.
Probably the only beneficial black hole in the history of the internet.
Yes. Yes. And honestly, it wasn't like a big thing like it is now, where I would say it's more mainstream and people are aware of these terms and stuff. And so you could imagine my delight. I was like, bingo, golden ticket. I mean, I had zero experience besides teaching. So I was like, that better be enough. And I'm just going to make video applications and see who hires me. So somebody did hire me, and I just worked remotely with them for 1 year. They're called MailerLite and they're an email marketing platform. So I was a full on digital nomad screaming from, you know, the top of my lungs from the mountaintops, like, this is my life. I love it. And a year later, I ended up starting teaching people for free how to find remote jobs. Because it's such a big gap in the industry. We teach people how to build businesses. We teach people how to do affiliate marketing. We teach people how to have their own blogs. We teach people how to freelance. But there's not many people out there who are helping people find and land these remote roles that are complete employment situations, but just from your laptop. So that's how it got started. And then now 3 years later, we've just completely, I mean, like you said, it is very meta. I have courses and programs that teach people how to land remote jobs, and my own remote team, like, they're all international. It makes me so proud. One is from Guatemala, my boyfriend. The other is from Malta, and the other one is from Bali.
We won't get into the specifics of working with your employing your boyfriend.
We can. It's great. It's great. It's how called it? You have to be the opposite of that person, and we are. So
it's not strange that you own the company and he's kind of technically a subordinate within those dynamics?
Oh, and I didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, I kind of assumed the worst. Like, I kind of assumed it, like, I needed him to help me at the time. And he needed more experience in the remote field. He's a freelancer. And so he said yes. And he said, this is not going to be my life path. Like, this is not my passion, but I'm going to, you know, be an employee. He gets paid the same as the rest of the people. And he, I don't know, we work really well together. Like, it honestly has gone the best way possible. Like, I couldn't have even imagined it to be this easy, honestly.
Wow.
He's just so laid back. So he doesn't care.
Yeah. Cause I could see that could definitely go the other direction. 100%.
Yeah, I kind of thought it would. I was like, let's hope for the best. And like in the contract, it says like at any moment, both parties can pull out of this contract to save any kind of face.
Oh, and you actually had him sign a contract in the whole nine yards. Everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's Wow. He's a contractor just like the others too. Wow. So, okay. But now I'm all about helping people, you know, do whatever they want through remote work. That's the whole big thing. Having a remote job is not like a spiritual transformation. You're still you. And I help people discover their lifestyle desires through having a remote job. So whether that's, you know, the work from home moms, whether that's the travel obsessed people like I was, whether that's people who want to learn new languages or volunteer or whatever they want to do. I'm all about just helping them do that through remote work.
So what's the biggest thing that you see people being held up on when they decide they want to get remote work? What's the biggest hurdle that people have in terms of getting it? I know we kind of touched on this earlier, but like that structure that we've all been, you know, indoctrinated with.
Yeah.
What do you see there?
Yeah. And this is exactly why I'm kind of shifting my work into less strategically, like, okay, you know, I'm known for crafting remote resumes and getting people to match up with the right kind of jobs. Like, I'm known for just getting people jobs, right? And the problem is that what I could teach that comes before that step is actually so much more foundational, so much more transformational, which is being your authentic self in your job search, which is so hard. This is what people get hung up the most on because they've been told their whole lives, sell yourself, you know, kind of shift your, the way that you are to fit a certain mold. If you want to be in that industry, if you want that job, find, you know, all of these like power verbs that could help you stand out and all that stuff. Yes. Like literally there are so many, schools of thought on this. Like if you were just going to write, you know, team meetings, on your resume, then you should change the verb led to like somehow a more powerful verb. And I'm like, this is so not where it's at, people. We need to be focusing on something else because that doesn't get you the job. So now I'm working with people on knowing who their authentic self is and how to attract a company that wants you the way you are with the skills that you have and the skills that you can possess in the future based on your personality and your leadership style and your working style, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what I find the most hard for people because it's also starting on the inside and people don't want to go there. They'd rather, you know, I've literally had clients tell me, like, I'm not paying you for, you know, therapy work. I'm like, yeah, that's what I would love for everyone to tell me, but you actually are because half of our conversations will end up being, I don't feel confident enough. Are you sure this is right for me? I don't feel like there's, you know, tens of thousands of people applying to this job. Why would they pick me? And that all starts from within. And that affects the way you show up on resumes, the way you show up in cover letters, the way you show up in interviews. And it also just even before you get to the application process, so affects which jobs you're choosing. And that is so important because I can have clients who are going after 10 jobs a week. That is like an extreme pace. And you know, 9 out of 10 of those are not meant for them. So of course, when they're getting rejected, they're thinking, what's wrong with me? Instead of why am I choosing those roles that aren't a good fit for me? And that just comes down to knowing who you are. Like that's such a hard question for people to sit with. And they're right. They didn't know that they were hiring me for that. Usually when they get started, they're like, okay, let's go to the resume. I'm like, back it up, Sally. Yeah. Got some work to do.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited to hear you say that because, you know, we did some work together. You helped me on my resume and cover letter, maybe like that was like 6-8 months ago. And I'm really glad that you're doing that type of stuff because it's incredible. I'm really passionate about figuring out those like resistance points that we all have within ourselves and these scripts that we're telling ourselves and these stories we're telling ourselves. And a job search is very much like a really big relationship search, you know, romantically, right? But these resistance points come up, even if it's something as simple as what kind of clothes are you going to go buy from the store? What kind of food are you going to eat? You want to change your health, you know, your lifestyle, your diet a little bit. Any type of change you make in your life is coming up against these resistance points based on the story and the script that you're telling yourself. And now that you're talking about it, yeah, a job is such a dramatic example of that, that I would imagine not only would it conjure up all these things that we all have in our head, but all these things like you touched on, all these things that society and our parents, the baby boomers, just pounded in there in terms of the type of jobs you should have, right? The thing of, you know, I think a lot of people look down on remote work. Like I've heard this from my parents before that it's, you know, well, why would you get a remote job when you could be getting a real job? You know,
and when you're going towards remote work, you could have convinced yourself that this is the proper path for you, but those voices are still going to come up in your head. And then you're going to talk yourself out of applying to things. You're going to talk yourself out of talking like a badass on your resume about your skills because you remember your dad saying, like logical mathematical skills are the most important thing. And all you've got are empathy, good luck, you know, and instead of writing, you know, empathy as your number one skill and then talking about that in an interview as this is why I'm an amazing manager. This is why I'm an amazing salesperson. Instead of digging into who you are, you start to feel really uncomfortable about what you're not. And I even find it in people not being able to get started, not being able to put together their resume.
And they're like, I just can't sit down to do it. I'm like, you can't sit down to do it because you can't face the fact that what you are going to write, you don't feel like is enough. That is the only thing that stops people from getting going. And it's such a direct thing that you can address first, which is alignment in your career. You know, like we talk about, like you said, it's kind of like a romantic search. And it is, because it is such a give and take relationship, your career. So when people talk about like conscious relationships, your career should be a conscious career, which basically just means that you're showing up aware of your thoughts. That's all consciousness means. So in a conscious relationship, that works out so well, because you can provide yourself inquiry on every single thought that you have, and you can kind of deconstruct those stories that you just talked about. You can be able to catch yourself. You might not be able to replace that story in one day with something that's going to serve you better, but you can catch yourself and call yourself out on your own bullshit. So a conscious career means the same exact thing. And if you start from alignment, then you don't have to try to correct your course along the way so many times and feel like, I'm not going anywhere, I'm spinning my wheels, nobody's choosing me, blah, blah, blah. Instead of starting with alignment. And like you said, the resistance points, you know, what's great is when you're on the path of least resistance, which, if people don't know listening, the path of least resistance is working at all times because of your point of attraction and what you're attracting out from within and what you're attracting into your life. And the path of least resistance doesn't care if you know it's there or not. And the, you know, the law of attraction doesn't care if you're thinking negatively or you are of the path you are already on. So the path of least resistance literally says that if you are coming from a place where you're not aligned and you're wondering what you can pluck, you know, what low hanging fruit, what kind of remote jobs will take me today, where I can just make money from my laptop. That's just my ultimate goal. And I don't know where I'm coming from, but I know where I want to go. It is going to give you more obstacles, more choices, more overwhelm, more you're not good enough, because that's where you're coming from. The path of least resistance says, let's give her more, let's give her more. And then also the path of least resistance works when you're in a positive state of mind, when you're thinking from an abundance mindset, when you're aligned and you think things like, there's no competition for people who are in alignment, because that's literally impossible, right? Like, there's no competition for me and the remote job I'm going to get, because it's literally meant for me, and it's my job to be able to see myself, to be able to see that opportunity and match myself up with it. So the path of least resistance will work there because it knows that you're coming from an aligned, abundant space, and it will give you more of that. It will basically knock things over that would have gotten in your way, because it's already moving in a positive direction with that momentum.
How does somebody start on the path of alignment when they feel like they're unaligned?
Asking themselves the questions that they've probably never been asked before, and it's a little bit uncomfortable. Like, how would you like to feel when you wake up and open your laptop? How would you like to feel when you close your laptop for the day? What kind of people do you want to surround yourself with and affiliate yourself with virtually? Not just educated or, you know, highly educated or non-highly educated. I mean, literally, what kind of people? Like, what are their values? What companies do you admire and why? What are some of the values that you're looking for? What are some of the words that companies use to attract employees that are a good match for them with their job description that you feel excited about being? That you feel like, oh my God, somebody wants that? I have that. Like words like multi-potentialite. Is that the word? Yeah. Multi-potentialite. People get so hung up on this. They're like, I'm a jack of all trades. I can wear many hats. And like everything that I see is asking me to be an expert and like have 10 years in one area. And I don't have that. And I'm like, those jobs aren't for you. Stop looking for them, because that's why you're finding them. Get real about who you are. Start saying those things in your resume and in your cover letter, and know that only companies who are comfortable with that kind of employee and actually want that kind of employee, and you'll be able to thrive there. You won't be hiding. You won't be saying, why did I choose this? Why do I feel like an outsider? Why do I feel like they just want me to buckle down and not be who I am? That's when you'll find those companies. Does that make sense? So that's what alignment, that's just like one example of what alignment can do for you.
Yeah, no, and that's applicable to all parts of your life, isn't it? I mean, when you're, like we were talking about earlier, friendships, relationships, you know, if you keep wondering why relationships don't keep working out, It's because
yes, what's the common denominator?
Exactly. Yeah, and I've had that multiple. Yeah, you're talking to me, right? Because that's definitely true. I had that experience.
Yes.
About a year or two ago, where it was like, man, these, you know, I don't know if you can call them relationships, but these situations with girls seemingly have the same situation happen over and over and over again. It's not them. It's me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Which is a hard thing to sit with. You've got to be at a certain place to even ask yourself that question. You know what I mean? And we skip over so much of that in life because, well, a lot of us that have big goals or big dreams feel like emotions aren't part of the plan. And deep thoughts aren't part of the plan. We're like, what can I do today to get to where I want to go? Instead of who can I be? And that's the answer is always more of myself. And when you go inward and you do that kind of reflection, that's the answers that you get. Oh, I'm the problem in my life. Oh, I'm the common denominator in my job search that's quote unquote not going anywhere. So let me take a look at that. And that's the fastest way to success in every part of your life. But none of us want to do it because it's freaking uncomfortable.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that a major, major setback for society and us right now are distractions. And I think that when you sit down and you send out your resume, and you go on LinkedIn, you go on Indeed, and you touch up your resume a little bit, you update your last job with a few nice bullet points, and then you sit down and you send out your resume to three people every day on LinkedIn or Indeed, it's the most dangerous thing I think you can do. Now, you obviously know more about this kind of stuff, but just in general, that type of a action in other parts of your life as well, where you feel like you're being productive,
yeah,
but deep down you know that it's not doing anything and you are it's just like swiping on Tinder. You know, you're swiping. You feel like maybe you're making gains towards a relationship, if we're going to stick with that metaphor, but you deep down know you're not, and you know you're not making yourself uncomfortable going and talking to that pretty girl or guy at the bar. You're not doing the internal work and maybe reaching out and getting coffee with a connection that could put you in touch with somebody, because that's really uncomfortable. And doing the other work that you're talking about is uncomfortable, but you can trick yourself into feeling productive. Yeah, no, I looked for three jobs today. So it's
and that's what I see all the time, is people feeling like they're doing the job search. And I'm like, oh, you really don't want to hear what I have to say. What I have to say is you've been doing nothing for 3 months. You've been thinking that you're doing the work. And so, I mean, in all types of business, you want to think about result producing activities or income producing activities. And for your job search, a lot of people just come at it ass backwards. And like you said, actually what would be good is actually like trying to manifest the people in your life who could get you to where you want to be. So my circle of friends sucks. Let me write down a lot of values that I would love to actually meet people. And then let me back that up by opening myself up to some networking opportunities and to grabbing a coffee with my supervisor from 5 years ago that actually thought that my work was really worthy of achievement and promotion. And let me think about where I want to go in life before I touch up my resume and before I find companies. I even have people doing their resume before they're set on a on a job title or an industry that they want. And my answer to that is, how can you know what you want to present to somebody if you don't know who they are and you don't know what the company stands for? Why are you doing this? Because someone told you that you need to have a CV of all of the activities that you've ever done in your life? Like, great. I don't know. Maybe your grandma wants to see that, but nobody cares. And you're just feeling like you are going through the motions, literally, and you're not doing anything that's actually producing results. So, of course, you feel like you're spinning your wheels. And, yes, dating is always the best metaphor for for job search, by the way. I use it all the freaking time, especially with, like, alignment in saying no to offers and saying no to applying to things that you're just so comfortable applying to that you almost know it's a bad idea, and you're like, oh, that's $5 an hour below what I'll take, but I'll apply to it anyway because that's what I'm committed to attracting in my life. And I'm like, do you see yourself right now? This is exactly like dating. And until you set up those boundaries and those standards and you commit to those standards in dating, you can be telling your friends like, yeah, I'm dating, you know, I'm doing the work. I'm I'm, you know, I don't know, I'm putting myself out there. And all your friends are like, she is putting out the wrong vibe, and they know it. And you're like, I'm doing the work. So yes, it's a perfect metaphor.
It is an absolutely perfect metaphor. What do you think is the biggest thing that people see when they do end up getting that remote job that they've been really working for? What's the biggest misconception that people have when they actually get the role and then they actually start the remote work, or just in general when you're working with people? What's a misconception people have?
So two things. One is the really sad fact that most people don't find their dream job on the first try because they are not in alignment. And that's why I'm so passionate about this message.
You're either a career coach or you're a chiropractor.
Yes. I'm like, align your freaking self.
Fucking alignment, goddammit.
You know why? Because you're going to be back to where you were starting the job search again. And I see this a lot.
Yeah, 100% true. Yeah.
Later. And, you know, you can take those lessons with you, of course. It's not wasted time. And of course, that path was meant for you. But how can I help people overcome this before they make those mistakes? And that knowing what you want and not being so starstruck by the opportunity of working remote that you just take whatever they'll give you. Whoever puts their hand up first that they want you, you'll take it. And I just see that a lot. And then people are unhappy and then they've got to start over again. So just beware, first-time remote job searchers. Have standards, commit to them, and you will thank yourself later. It may take longer. You may have to hold out for 4 months instead of the 90-day window that I would tell people this is possible in, and it's going to cause, you know, a lot less stress, and it's going to be the path that you actually want. And then another thing I would say is when people think about like remote work, they're just not sure how they're going to personally feel about it. They're not sure if they're going to be lonely, if they're going to feel lost, if they're going to feel like they have no accountability, if they're going to feel like they don't get out of the house anymore. And so I just think that people should really try it first. And you don't have to be hired by a company to try remote work. Like literally pick a Saturday of your life and just have a list of projects that are done all online and see how you do. And if you feel like a miserable wench at the end of the day, then you need to start thinking about some things, right? And I just love how people are like, well, I won't know until I start. And I'm like, you could download the Slack app, which is the communication app that all remote companies use pretty much. And you could get in a community channel about, I don't know, traveling, and you could start talking to people and just see how that works. You could download Zoom for free and do a conference call with your mom. I don't care who it is, right? So you could prepare yourself and you could just see, like, is this too much? Or am I kind of really out of my league here? And one of the things I want to ask in the interview is, how is mentorship in your company? And if they look at you like you've got three heads, you know what the answer is. They don't provide it. and if you know you're going to need a solid training plan, you better ask about that in the interview instead of just, you know, hoping and then going, well, I felt really lost and then I couldn't do my job and I got fired or I quit. So yeah, those are maybe two of the things I would say people go through.
Those are fantastic. Why do you think it is that people take that first job that comes at them? You know, even if they don't need it, they have money coming in, but why are we also trained in a job searching dynamic? I feel like most of us are trained that they are doing us a favor by giving us a job. Why is that?
Mm-hmm. It's a lack of worthiness. It's a lack of, I'm worthy as a human with or without this job. It's a lack of belief that I'm a remote worker with or without the job offer. I would tell people that, like, I'm not all about this act as if bullshit, like act as if you're a millionaire. No, that's like, I don't know who came up with that. That is like the worst advice. You know what you need? You need to believe that you are the person who deserves $1 million. That is the only thing that can replace that bullshit thing that somebody put out there one time and it caught on a lot and it's on Instagram quotes. because you need to believe that you're the person who deserves to get paid sitting in your pajamas from your couch. And when you don't believe that deep down, you take anything. You show up in interviews like a yes, ma'am, and you don't actually ask things that you are downright concerned about. And you're like, oh, I wish I would have asked them this because it was clear on my first day that it was a misogynistic shithole, you know, and that's on them. So yes, I would say it's a lack of belief that they are the person that deserves what they are getting. And I say this to people all the time, and this smacks them in the face. And, you know, I just love to give people a taste of like reality. And I say, would it surprise you if a remote job gave you an offer? And most people are like, yes, because they've been complaining to me for weeks about how they're not going anywhere and no one's getting back to them and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, if it's going to be a surprise that you've succeeded, then you need to work on your belief, and or it will always be an uncertainty in your mind that you could ever do it.
Yeah, that's powerful stuff. And once again, this type of work that you're talking about doing is applicable to everything in life. It's the same kind of stuff that I have people do, you know, through my program. It's the same kind of thing, because without that, you really do revert back to the exact same thing you were doing at the beginning, right? Like it's a very simple metaphor, but it's really just the foundations. And if you don't like rewire those foundational things of exactly why you're doing this, who you are, and what you think you can do, then you can get the world and you'll just crumble back into nothing, which we've all done from time to time, for sure, you know?
Mm-hmm. And we'll probably do it more times in our life. And then we'll go, oh, whoops, I forgot. Mm-hmm. Everything that I need is already within me. And all I need to do is sit down with myself and have a tough conversation.
I do that daily.
Yes. Like we Every forget, day. You're not always going to feel like an aligned. It was so funny. I did an event in New York City last week or this weekend. And I don't know, just we had downtime with the ladies and it was kind of casual conversation. And someone just brought up like, so what do you do when someone is offering you an opportunity and it doesn't like tick all of your marks? And I'm like, oh shit, we literally just did so many sessions about like worthiness, pricing, you know, charging what you're worth, being an aligned creature. And we forgot to like put in there that we're normal human beings. And sometimes we do things for passion and sometimes we do things for fun. And sometimes we do things just for the money. And then we find out that was a bad idea. And it's not like we're walking around with this armor that's like, I'm an aligned conscious person. You can't fuck with me. It's like, no, I get fucked with almost every day. But the difference is I'm a conscious person. I can provide inquiry at any time from my own soul. Hey, why am I thinking this? Or hey, why is my instinct to go do that right now? Is that what I really want in the long term? Or am I going for instant gratification like a lot of us do? So no, the obstacles don't stop showing up. It's just you change inside. And I want to say like what you said about how this applies to everything. I would ask everyone out there, then why aren't we starting focusing on these things inside of ourselves? Like, why aren't we mastering the inner work, knowing that it radiates out to everything that we want to do in life, instead of being like, well, now I'm going after my career goals, so I'll like focus on being a monk later. It's like, no, I'm not asking you to meditate for 5 hours a day. I'm asking you to be in tune with your intuition, to ask yourself hard questions, to think before you act, and to search for alignment instead of searching for a job. And it radiates out into everything that you could possibly ever want. So I would urge people to start there and you'll get ahead much faster.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And I think the most powerful way to start doing that is through writing, in my personal opinion. I think journaling in the morning, I think writing down what it is you're feeling, like you said, prompting yourself with these questions, free form writing, just writing out your thoughts is such a transformational effect that will lead down that path.
Yes, I agree, because I do like journaling with my intuition, and that's just what I feel like it is. And anyone can do any type of writing, like you just said, those things are. It's just such a reality check that I've got stories in my mind, like big ones, and it might not even hit you until you look at what you wrote yesterday. And now you're in a different frame of mind and you're like, I made that up. I made all of my bad mood up yesterday and I could have just mastered my mood in like 5 seconds and totally stripped down that story of mine that doesn't serve me at all. And I could have replaced it with a mantra, or I could have replaced it with a deep breath, or I could have replaced it with a, you know, fuck that person, that's not for me, and I'm going this way, you know? And it's such a powerful thing. And until you write things out or say them out loud, maybe to a really... I don't know, maybe to a mirror, maybe to like a really trusted person in your life, you will never know how crazy you sound in your mind.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I think that writing it out, for me at least, when I get really angry or something like that, writing it out, you know, some days I literally sit down and I just go like, fuck all this, fuck you, yeah, fuck this, fuck that, in like big caps. Right. Halfway through the page, it's crazy. Halfway through the page, Taylor, my words will start to become smaller. The swear words will start to disappear. By the bottom of the page, I'm now writing coherent sentences of like, you know, actual thoughts I've had. But it started off with big, giant swear words, like just getting out my anger, frustration on the paper. By the end, it's my brain has processed it and I'm a normal person again.
That is so powerful. And it is so true. It's like, that's the process that none of us have access to unless we accept that we need to work on our thoughts and we need to find out what's going on in there. And then you just start to unravel and you just get down to this really simple, usually childish thought that you can then say, can I let go of that thought? Oh yeah, there it goes. Now I can think a new thought that's going to serve me better. What you just shared is so powerful. Like, I hope people out there who have like built up anger or built up confusion or like literally who will say like, why me? Why this? Why over and over again? Like, start writing that out. You'll get other words that come.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Work it out and write it out. Those two are just potent medicines, I feel like, that can cure almost anything. Any mental ailment, work out or write it out. And it helps tremendously.
Yeah.
So, all right. I know you got to go to a dinner sometime soon. So I want to start a little bit on the more tactical side of things. So we've done 80%, 90% of the mindset work, right? And now people are sitting
there. Which is so important. And people are probably like, when are we going to get to the stuff that's going to help us? We just did.
No.
So it's a natural resistance that comes up in your mind. Like, oh, I hope they get to some of the strategies. And we will. But just notice how we talked about all of that first. And that's where you should start from. And now we can go on the strategies that will actually make a difference instead of you doing all these things without working on yourself first and feeling like you've gotten nowhere and feeling like misguided and feeling like you're putting out all the effort and you're just getting, you know, you're just in your wheels. So yeah, let's get into it.
No, but preach for sure. No, 100% what you just said, that's gold. And I've done this more times than I can count where I hear people saying what you just said and I go, yeah, for sure. So anyway, what are the tactics and strategies I need?
Yes. And just a little transparent moment. I used to be that person like 100% of the time. And I'll even quote myself, like in you know, my mind thoughts. I literally thought when people talked about alignment and not doing things unless they're in alignment with yourself, I literally used to say that's an excuse for people who don't know how to work hard. Like, I literally didn't know
it sounds woo-woo.
What was waiting for me on the other side. And now I know what was waiting for me on the other side. And I did have to break down a lot of barriers. So just for everyone listening, I didn't come out of the womb being like abundance mindset 101. I came out of the womb being like, I will do whatever it takes to succeed. Very masculine energy, very go, 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 do, do, do. And when I finally stepped back and became like a lot of being focused on being the woman that deserves all these things, that's when my life really accelerated without feeling like I was doing so much work.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And I think you're completely right. And I think it stems from, this is a divergent conversation that we can do another podcast on, but I think it really stems from, you know, a capitalistic mindset. And I think it really stems from also the Industrial Revolution. And we all have these ingrained habits of do, productivity, efficiency. And what the fuck does my mindset have to do? If I sat there and meditated for 10 minutes, I'm not doing anything. And we're told that you need to be doing something. You need to be efficient. You need to be productive. Are you checking tasks off your list or not? If you're not, then how do you think you're going to get to where you want to go? Right? And so it's really hard. You have to rewrite the script of how to rewrite the script.
Exactly. And you have to start from a point where you thought was the end. Like, people think, okay, I'm going to get all these things in my life. I'm going to get this job title. I'm going to be working remotely. I'm going to visit 10 countries. I'm going to attract the love of my life. And then I'm going to like get to a place where I can like meditate every day. And like, then I'll find like what's the happiness that I'm searching for in my life. It's like, let's start at that. And then everything comes along so much faster. But oh, baby, I did not want to believe it. I was so jaded. I was like, what?
Yeah, no, I know for sure. There's this beautiful short anecdote of a Mexican fisherman and a U.S. traveler that comes to this little Mexican fishing village. to vacation. And he meets this fisherman out there on the dock, and he pulls up this nice big fish. And the American goes, "Oh my God, that's incredible. Like, you caught this nice big fish, you know, like, you know, how do you spend your days?" And he's like, "Well, I usually go out fishing once a day, and then I hang out with my children and relax and laugh with them and spend time with my wife, and we go for walks and things like that." And the guy's like, "Man, well, you know, how much fish is out there?" And the Mexican fisherman is like, "Well, no, there's a lot. If you go around the cove, I can probably catch like 10 a day, something like that." And the American's like, "Okay, so what you could do is you could, you know, catch 10 a day and you could bring back. Then you could send it." And this is any kind of capitalist country, right? This is the mentality. Yeah. You could set up 5 different boats. Then you could own those 5 different boats. You could set up, you know, this, and you could open a savings account and distribute the fish to all these markets. And the fisherman is like, "Oh, so what's the point of doing all that?" And he's like, "Well, so then you can, you know, own your own business. You can eventually sell it and make a bunch of money." And he's like, "And then what I do?" And the kind of, you know, the American stops, and he's like, "Well, I guess then you would have enough money to relax with your family and go for walks and spend time with your kids," you know? And the fish, you know, so it's like this beautiful anecdote of somebody who's already doing that lifestyle, and someone else comes in and is, you know, we're just so programmed that way. We're very programmed for efficiency and creating that, when you can just start from the top, like you said, or start at the end.
That's really beautiful. I love that.
Okay, so we'll get into a little tactical stuff here at the end, now that we've preached about the other stuff.
I hope we have a couple of people in the audience going, "Preach," but probably the major percent of people are like, "I asked my question on Instagram and I would like you to ask it right now."
No. Most people are down. So this one comes from Morgan Greenfield, and this is a pretty classic one that actually a few people asked, but she was the first one, so she gets the shout out. Okay. Where are the best places to look for remote work? Because a lot of people were saying that they look on Indeed, they look at all these places, and it's a lot of telemarketing and crap jobs. So where are the best places to actually find quality remote work?
Yeah, so this is why people pay me money, because it is actually quite frustrating to be on remote job boards. And those remote job boards, like, I even have a blog post on my website. People can go to remotelikeme.com/blog. It's like my most popular blog post ever, and it's remote job boards for every industry. So these are even better than those big search engines, but they're still the same jobs, the same companies, and you have tens of thousands of people applying to them. And they're not specifically going to light you on fire, because you're doing filtered searching. And something that I explain in my programs, I'll explain it a little bit here, and this is called strategic searching. It's when you've got values, standards that you're going to commit to, and role responsibilities that actually make you feel so good. You've got salary standards. You've got missions that you can stand behind. You've got all this written out. And then you actually just search based on those, and you don't spend time on job boards. I actually tell people to search for lists. So you can search for a list of, you know, best remote companies that are eco-friendly or that have an eco-friendly mission. And you're going to get so many amazing hits off of that are aligned with you and that you want to apply to, than filtering through job boards and trying to convince yourself that one of those is actually something that you want.
That is fantastic advice. And you're right, you don't get caught up in all the garbage then too.
Yes, exactly. And you don't see things over and over again that are asking for different skills or different personality traits than what you have, and you don't start thinking, what's wrong with me? I obviously can't go remote because I don't know what Salesforce is. Well, if you stopped looking at jobs that have nothing to do with you, then you would feel like everything you're finding was meant for you, and you feel like, I'm on a roll. And then that affects your mood, and that affects the way that you actually show up when you're, you know, in these really, really challenging situations, like an interview or a salary negotiation. And that's how you get to where you want to be.
Beautiful. Love it. Okay. Number two, Rama Collins asks, what if you don't, you kind of touched on this just now, what if you don't have any fancy skills or degrees to put you at the front of the pack when applying?
Do you feel fancy? Do you feel like you want a remote company that wants people with fancy degrees? Don't worry about it. Like, literally, no degree, no problem. That should be your mantra. You need to lead with what you do have. And you need to know, like, come from an abundance mindset and just know that I am the remote job queen. So I will tell you what is a fact right now, and that is that every single Monday, I sit down and I curate my weekly roundup for my paying members. I put 40 to 50 jobs on that every single Monday in various industries with various missions, with various, roles. And every single Monday, I'm going through thousands of opportunities, not including job boards, because I expect people can do that themselves. So these are opportunities that I'm finding through that strategic searching method that I just spoke about with what my members are interested in. And then people giving me through my network other opportunities that I should look at and pass on. And thousands, like I literally can't even tell you, I have to pare it down to what my members are interested in. And there are tons and tons and tons of remote jobs out there. So don't feel like you need to be one way, have one type of education, or be in one type of industry. It's not true at all. Just take it from me. If you haven't seen it for yourself and you're like, I'm pretty sure everything that I look at on Google is like $10 an hour transcription jobs. That's okay. You just don't know how to search yet. So take it from me. It is abundant as fuck out here. And everybody has an online business. Everybody needs support for that online business, and that's where you come in as a remote worker. I need to shut my window because there are children outside in my neighbor's yard, but hopefully it hasn't destroyed the audio at all. But they're having fun. So that's what I would say to anyone who's worried about. It doesn't have to be a degree. This is a question I get a lot. I'm worried about, my age. I'm worried about the tools that I already know how to use. I'm worried about, anything that I don't have. And I say, start worrying about what you do have. Start attracting jobs that want that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just focus on the stuff that you have to offer instead.
Yes.
Beautiful. Number three, from my buddy Matthew Flores. He asked, he already has a remote job, actually. He works from London, but he's really curious.
Okay.
He said, getting the job is the beginning of the journey. Do you have any advice on meeting new people while working remotely?
I'm going to just make some assumptions in his question because it's not very detailed, but I'm assuming he means meeting people that are going to take his career even further and help him enjoy his career more, or maybe give him other types of business opportunities.
Yeah, I think it just means like in a semi-professional sense, how can he meet people that's not just, out at a bar?
Mm-hmm. So number one, roll your eyes again, but you've got to know who you're looking to connect with, and then you will start attracting those kind of opportunities. But some things that I can tell you right off the bat are join your local digital nomad Facebook group. And if it's not local, like if you don't live in a city like London or New York City or Medellin, Colombia or anything like that, you can go just up to the country level. Like there's always a digital nomad of blah, blah, blah Facebook community. And that is where I got like so many of my connections when I was working remotely. And I would definitely say that is like ground level one. In the US, we have something called meetups.com. I'm not sure if that's global or not, but again, you can search by interest and you can find physical events to go to. I would say anything that gets you out of your laptop cave and can actually get you out around people that are like-minded. And then also, I've gone on a lot of the remote work and digital nomad type programs or trips that are already planned for you with groups of digital nomads. Something that you can look into is literally just Google best travel programs or best retreats for digital nomads and remote workers. And I literally found my best friend at one of them, like literally my BFF. For real.
Nice.
And I would have never met her if I didn't, if I wasn't on the lookout for other remote workers that were aligned with me. And I picked something that was my vibe. I didn't just pick it because it was the right cost in the right country. I picked it because it just had this kind of like make it your own freedom type kind of thing. And that's exactly who she is. And we found each other. I actually didn't think that it was that great of a program, but I found her, and I'm really, really grateful for that. So I would say those three things.
Okay. Awesome. All right. One last question here on the tactics. And this is kind of a broad question, but I'm sure you have a couple of good basic tips for this. What are some ideas on simple restructuring of the resume to take it from something that is maybe a Word doc in 95 to something a little more pleasant and better for the 21st century?
Yes,
that's from Tiffany Jones, by the way.
Okay, Tiffany, here we go. Hot tip. You cannot, yes, you absolutely cannot apply with the Word document resume. And every single person that I help land remote jobs, usually, and I would say 99% of the time, designs their resume in Canva. And I teach people how to do this in my courses and any of the programs that you get from me. I have a couple things on my blog about it, so you can just maybe Google Remote Like Me and resume tips.
And this is what you help me do, too, for people listening.
Yes, yes,
yeah,
exactly.
My resume literally looked like it was made on Windows 98, and now mm-hmm. it looks like it's somewhat relevant. And
now it looks like you're a remote worker. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so Canva.com is free, and they have templates that you can already start off with in their resume template section, and then you have to be able to move those sections around based on what the company wants. So, yeah, number one is the look of it. You've got to get into Canva or search on Etsy for Google Doc resume templates. They sell on Etsy for like $3, and they're really good. I've had some of my clients use those if you don't like Canva, but Canva is totally free, and there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to use it. And then part two of that is knowing what's supposed to go on it, right? Like, how can I, you know, if you just make it look nice and it's still in that Word doc, like paragraph format, nobody's going to give you a look. So just my number one tip that I always give people is have 3 to 5 keywords and phrases from the job ad in the top half of the first page of your resume. That is absolutely crucial. Why? Because if you're going through an applicant tracking system or you're going just through the naked eye of a hiring manager, they need to see that you're who they asked for on the job ad. And that means literally pulling 3 to 5 keywords from the job ad. Don't be afraid to tell them that that you are exactly what they want. Don't try to find any power verbs. Please stop doing that. Stop, you know, put away the thesaurus. There's no reason to try to reword what they're looking for. You want their eyes to light up. You can bold those keywords and phrases throughout your resume, and you can just make sure that you are actually a correct match for what they want. Now, when it comes to personality on a resume, that is absolutely important. Think of your job search in the location dependent sense. They're going to get a chance to meet you. In the virtual sense, they're probably not. So it's going to be a phone call or a video call. So you need to humanize it real quick. You need to show them who you are and that you're not just, you know, another resume for them to look through. So you've got to put some personality on there. And you've got to be authentic. So again, this comes back to the first question. Is this authentically you? Or does this feel like somebody that you wish you were or somebody that you would literally roll your eyes at if you worked with? And then you've got to check yourself. Should I be applying to this? If I can't find 3 to 5 keywords to put on, you know, the first couple sections of my resume that are a direct match with the job ad, you're not it. You should stop applying and go to something that you are actually cut out for.
Beautiful. Awesome. Okay, well, tell people, since we've got limited time here, tell people where they can find you, what you're working on. I know you got some big things coming out, so give us a little rundown here where people can easily find you.
Yes, absolutely. So for anything at all, just go to remotelikeme.com. We've got everything up on our website. I would love if people here do love to engage on Facebook. If you're a Facebook groupie kind of person, my Facebook group is awesome. It's called Remote Like Me Community. And you'll find, you know, free job listings on there, and you'll find tips and free training videos from me on there. So I would love to connect with you there. My Instagram handle is @remotelikeme. I'm living on the gram. You can literally see what I do every single day behind the scenes. And my employees who work for me remotely from around the world, they also do takeovers. So you can see what it's like to work for awesome. A remote, small remote company. Yeah. I love giving them that space to do that. And then, yes, I've got on April 15th, I'm doing a 5-day free challenge called Align and Attract Your Dream Remote Job. So if you were like headbanging, preaching, hands in the air to anything that we were talking about aligning first and how to actually attract your dream remote job with ease and how to make it feel good, it does not have to suck, just so you know, while you're reaching your career goals to work remotely, then you definitely want to be in that free challenge. I'm going to teach you how to attract your dream job in 5 days. And it's going to include everything on abundance mindset, alignment, how to accept your reality and how to get what you want, who you are, and actually what you want, all of those things that you talked about. And they are, of course, backed up with inspired action tips. So, you know, I go into the resume and the cover letter and the interview and how all of that looks when you are aligned and when it is actually the job for you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Taylor, for coming
on. I hope some people are into that message and are into, you know, not going through the motions anymore and not just guessing what they should be doing and actually coming from a place of alignment. And if they are, then I really hope that they sign up for the free 5-day challenge and just see what happens. You will see. You will experience it for yourself.
Yeah, and break through some barriers and stuff. Awesome. Yeah, no, 100% agree. And we'll be putting this out a few days before, so hopefully when you're listening to this, that should be coming up in a few days.
So
go check it out. Thanks so much for coming on, Taylor. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, stick around for another minute, but we'll go ahead and end it there. Thank you much for coming on.
Thank you.
Well, I do hope y'all enjoyed that episode. Check out Taylor at Remote Like Me. She obviously is a go-getter and a hustler. So check out what she's going on over there on her Instagram. If you like what I'm putting out, a review or a subscription on iTunes would make my fucking day, people. I love you all. Got some amazing more stuff coming out. At least I hope it's amazing. I tell myself that all my episodes are amazing. But really, I appreciate you listening, even if you're at this point of the episode, which is at the very end, which means you've listened to over an hour, and then you listened to the outro. That means I love you. That means I hope that you really are getting value out of what it is I'm doing. And if you do, feel free to reach out to me, Alex H. Starr on Instagram. I got an email, alex@alexstarr.com. Reach out to me. I'm taking on a few people for my Rewrite the Rules program, which is designed to help you overcome blocks in your life, get unstuck, get some clarity, so you can start living the life that you want on your own terms instead of the one that you've been told. How is that for an elevator pitch? Tell me it's good. All right, guys, have a great week, a great weekend, a great month, a great spring. I love y'all, and catch you on the next one.